Welcome to Get Big Out Loud Radio, where we explore living the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life with me, Carrie Knutson, and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Are your thoughts keeping you small? Are you ready to get big? I will offer you ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. Explore what is keeping you small and how to shift your behaviors in order to get big. Learn what is possible for you. Get ready to get big and live life out loud starting now.
Goodness, do we have a few things to talk about today. I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show. But what I love doing is I love co-hosting, and I love co-hosting with people that are. Here's the thing. How get big out loud do you want to be with your yes? Let's start with that. Because if you want to get big out loud with your yes, and you want to do this show, this is Carrie Knutson's show, Get Big Out Loud, Living the Complex, Funny, and Beautiful Ride of Life. What I love about this topic today, I didn't expect this to come today, but the timing is always perfect with her. I don't get it. It's like when it's time to start. Jacob, I'm not going to make a football comment. I'm just not going to do it. But I am going to comment on Riri before we start. And I don't expect Carrie to even know what I'm talking about, but I'm talking all you. What? Rihanna? Hello? Look, I love it when we talk about starting and we take a look at where we are in our lives. And we have somebody like her who is now officially listed on the billionaire list, yes, for her beautiful line of products. And she decides, I'm gonna pay for this time in the middle of the Super Bowl, and I'm just going to sing. You see, that's time to start. And for her, there's something so important about that. But let's talk about you and me and Carrie. When it's time to start, it's time to start. It's not a minute later and not a minute sooner. And this weekend, I thought I was working on two projects and I was ready to start. I was ready. I was like fired up. I'm going to do it. And then I go in to work on our technology and our website. Couldn't get it to go. Couldn't get it to start. I couldn't do it. What does that mean? Does it mean that you just roll over, or are you going to listen to this show today from an amazing woman who is out in the world, helps other people start? She speaks all over. She has been speaking all through COVID, and her message is, you got to get big out loud. And that is what you define for yourself. She's a professional speaker, a counselor, a storyteller, mother. We are going to wrap someday. You know, she is an extrovert matching my introvert. Yes, don't be shocked. But she's also an expert in the field of emotional intelligence. So today, you're not just going to hear about this conversation about when it's time to start, but the good, the bad, and the ugly. Carrie, right? This is the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yes, thank you for that introduction, Dr. Pat. There's so many things to unpack. And you're right, because I'm not that great at popular culture, I missed some of your references. But I love that you set the stage for what we're talking about today, which is when it's time to start. And there's so much to unpack. And the reason I picked that for this month is because most of us by January, we had these big goals for January, January 1st, societal pressure, start everything. Get everything going. There's something even called Quitter's Day where people say, did you make it past Quitter's Day? And I hate that because so many people are sitting in failure right now. Like, I failed. And so I wanted to bring up the topic of when it's time to start for all of us who need a little boost to be like, it's not too late for me to start. No. And what keeps us from starting, what helps us get started, and mostly the affirmation of like these societal pressures on either a holiday or a Monday or a big birthday, like whatever big decade you're entering, like now it's time to start. That can feel so much, of a push unnecessarily, or of a failure. If I can't get it together by my 50th, I can't get it together at all. So that's what I want to talk about today and put it set up when it's time to start in the context for all of us, whether or not you set resolutions in January, whether or not you made it past Quitter's Day, whether or not you're sitting there thinking, I don't even know what to start on when. This is the podcast for you. We're going to talk all about when to start.
Well, can I make an announcement?
Yes.
So I knew I was getting ready to do this, and I have been unable to come back into our office and our studios here because of this foot story, which I'm not going to go into. And I made a decision because I always prep for these shows. And then I'm looking at what we're talking about today. And even though I was up at 3 this morning working on something, I said, you know what? Today is the day to start. Today is the day to get yourself going, get in the car. Come on. And it is the time to start without beating yourself up about all the other days you didn't start. Can you talk to that?
Oh, yeah. The first piece of what I want to talk about is compassion. And really, to engage in compassion, you have to start with your conscious mind has to wake up a bit and say, hey, there's probably a lot of reasons that you haven't started the things you said you wanted to start or do the things you said you wanted to do. And instead of being judgmental, because immediately what our brain tends to do is be judgmental. Like, of course you didn't do it because you failed last time, or you're too lazy, or you can never get it together. Or you tell yourself, I'm so exhausted, I can't even think about it. But yet I still feel like I know I should do it. And then you live in that should space, which feels really bad. And so the whole starting point to make a start, to start anything, or to restart, also I should add that, to restart something, like maybe you start something a while ago, project or something, and then you fell off and then you want to restart. There's all this mental baggage that tends to come along for the ride. And it's usually packaged in a lot of judgment and shame. And you, to get through the judgment and the shame, it's like untying knot after knot after knot. Then you're exhausted. You can't do the thing you wanted to do. So the idea is, if you can engage with your conscious mind, and if you wake up on a random Tuesday in February and say, today is the day, right, that you do it with compassion. Compassion is the first cornerstone thing. You're most likely, if you looked at yourself from an outside view, you're probably doing the best you can with what you have at any given moment. There's a great quote by FDR, do the best you can with what you have where you are. And I love that quote, because most of us are doing just that. We haven't failed to start usually because things get in the way. We have other priorities. We get tired. We get lazy. We have to fight against so many things like inertia and the status quo, which I'll speak about in a moment. But in order to get started, the first key is, can I be compassionate to myself? Can I light the flame of compassion so that I can have some energy behind where I want to start? And compassion simply looks like, it's great that you're ready to start now. I'm so happy I arrived at this day. And use the little bit of empathy and energy that you can muster from that compassion to be like, give yourself a break so that you have some energy to start. And don't stay in your story and what's wrong with you. There's not that much wrong with you. There's a lot more that's right with you. And being compassionate to be like, I'm starting now because I'm starting now. And being compassionate to be like, why do I want to make this change or do this thing? Part of being compassionate is saying, because it's now I've arrived and I'm going to face my fears and deal with my inertia. But coming from a place of compassion instead of judgment is huge. It will help you on your journey to start way more than criticism, way more than judgment. And also it will help you face fear, because fear is a big part of that, which we're going to unpack. But compassion is, I feel like, the sword that you wield in front of you to like get through all of the hard stuff.
Yeah. You know, I'm so glad you brought this up, because we don't stop to say, oh my gosh, I'm stepping into a bad pile of fear, or oh my gosh, I'm stepping into some other shame or guilt. But, you know, taking that first step. So the first step for me was loading my car up. Now, why does that sound silly? Well, it's not silly. You know, the fact that you may not have done something you haven't done in a while, you have to start with action towards that thing, even if it's teeny weeny. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
even if it's small.
I say the smaller, the better. The smaller, the better, because if you have a reasonable chance of success, success begets success. So you can't, if you don't pack up the car, you can't do the next big thing. And if you don't pack up the box to take to the car, you don't have the next big thing. And if you don't think about what to put in the box and go around your house and put it, like, every little small step. So I always say, do the smallest thing you can do towards starting. The smallest thing you can do to be successful, because your brain hinges into that. Oh, I'm being successful. Look at me. And sometimes we need the energy to keep going. And those small things are not small things. They're big things. And part of what I think in our culture, we're so driven towards the outcome and the achievement. When someone climbs a 14er, like here in Colorado, everyone's supposed to climb a 14er, right? No one says, how was the ride up? Like, how was the walk up there? How did you do? What did you enjoy most at, like, 3,000 feet, right? Like, nobody's at the, I got to the top. And we forget the journey, and we need energy for the journey. And so remembering the small steps, like my husband and I were hiking, this is just one small thing, but we were huffing and puffing, and we both said, we need to stop for a second and regroup. And my husband's from Virginia, and this is when he first moved out here, and he goes, I'm just having a hard time breathing. I'm like, I am too. I said, let's agree to take it slow. And he's like, well, at least we've made some progress. And we turned around and we could still see the trail marker. And we were like, but we said, it still counts. It still counts. We made it, you know, 20 feet and it still counts.
It
we
still need to counts.
Readjust. Right. But it sometimes you just make it 20 feet and you need to readjust, but don't waste your energy, your precious energy, judging yourself and thinking it's not enough. So to your point, you pack up the car. That's huge. You give yourself credit.
Yeah. And then you're lucky enough, you run into Jessica on the way in, who helps you carry all that junk you put in the car. But you know what I love about this is, let's talk about, look, you and I can talk about this because we've been there. So I want to say this to everybody that's listening today. Look, take out your mental and emotional eraser and let's get rid of the crust that stops you from going online, filling your taxes, looking at them, paying whatever you need to pay. Look, what is it that fear causes us to do more of? Let's take a minute. People may not know what gets in the way. Like, what got in the way of me waiting so long to come in? And I'll tell you how simple it was. But one day led to the other, to the other. You know, I was so concerned that this biopsy I got, this punch, who does a punch biopsy in between your toes? Okay, a doctor does. But I was so concerned that, you know, it wouldn't heal. But I didn't want to overdo it. So that's fear, stepping into a place that it has no business being. And how does that then direct your entire life until you get to the point where we don't let it? But what are some of these other feelings that are so real for people right now? I got an email this morning from somebody asking me what I thought about a headline that came out. And I'm like, I didn't even know about the headline. But what gets in our way from where you sit, the people you coach, the people you're in front of? Give me your big three. Okay. Get big out loud, big three.
Under fear. So first, what I say, what a lot of the things that keep us from starting something, fear is one of the number one things that in our mental kind of hangups, that fear comes up as a big thing. And I call fear a cover emotion for so many other things. And we also say, oh, I'm scared, then I won't do it. But really we're saying, if we unpack it a little bit, oh, I'm overwhelmed, I don't know where to start. Oh, I'm scared of being judged. Oh, I'm worried that I'll be a failure. Oh, I'm scared of trying something new and being new at something. Oh, this feels uncomfortable. What? I'm insecure about showing up in this space. I don't know what I don't know. So that makes me anxious. So all of those things can be packaged nicely in fear. And what our brain sometimes does is, I'm scared, so I won't start. And it's so important, again, to engage your conscious mind to say, oh, hey, fear, I see you. I see you showing up. Thank you for letting me know I'm stepping outside my comfort zone. Thank you for letting me know this is different. And so what I always say is, fear really can be used as a guide to let you know when you're starting your journey. And there is a difference, an important difference between fear and danger. So when you
make
Yeah, so here's what I like to talk about. When if you're about to cross over the line of your comfort zone or do something new or start, what fear usually, you know, pops up. You know the difference, though, between fear and danger. If danger pops up, you know the difference, then you go right back into your safety zone because we don't want you to be in danger. But fear and danger are two different things. So when fear pops up, what I like to think about is, oh, thanks for letting me know. You're alerting me to this situation. My emotional regulatory system is working. Okay, that's good. Because if I was a little bit afraid, I probably would have already done it. So we do simple things all the time. So fear is the indicator this is new or different. And then what I love to think about is what is on the other side of that fear. And there's a beautiful quote that says, everything you want is on the other side of fear. Again, everything you want is on the other side of fear. And when you think about why we want to start, why we want to make a change, why we want to finish that project, why we did pick up that brochure, why we log on to take that class, we're always looking for what's on the other side because our best selves knows that we want it or need it to fulfill something in us. And so that idea of fear as the big gatekeeper, I love to reinvent the idea of like when we feel fear to be like, oh, here I go. And to affirm it instead of being frightened by it and to see it as a passageway instead of an excuse and to see it as the gate towards what's next rather than a gate that's closed. And that is a really part of engaging our conscious mind, especially when we're starting, because we're so, I don't know, delicate. And in terms of our brain space, we're so delicate and it takes a lot of courage to get through the gate of fear, but everything you want is on the other side. And again, if you know the difference and can distinguish fear and danger, you will make better decisions. We don't want you doing dangerous things, but fear is not a sign to stop.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I found is, and let's just talk about this morning. I was listening to one of the people I listen to in the morning on TV, and they were talking about the idea of pain. Well, they didn't use the word. I can't remember what they used, but they something around pain or something like that. And what they said is it's a gateway. It's a gateway for our next big thing. And I thought about that. And what I thought about was that it doesn't matter where you are. And when I say our next big thing, let me put it in perspective for everybody. There was a point in time for me in 2001 where the outside world looked at me and said, we don't get you. We don't understand, Pat. You've been offered top consulting jobs in the world. Your research won awards. And you can't come out of the house and you're depressed and, you know, So here's what happens. The way people see us on the outside can become another barrier for what we do on the inside.
No, that's so pretty, especially because our other people's perceptions of ourselves, we have to gauge that. And we're very, people love to say, I don't care what other people think, but we totally do. We're kind of programmed because we need relationships to work. So we do care if we're being relational or not. We do care about what other people think. And that's the part of adulthood where we have to start gauging how much of other people's perceptions do I own? How much do I reject? What is important to me? Who's the source? Where can I grow from this? What's there to just hurt me and keep me stuck? And so these ideas about outside and other people's opinions, we have to be really careful because sometimes we've internalized messages like, who do you think you are to try that? Or no one in our family does that. Or you think you're some big shot because, or look at that ego. Or sometimes even people advocating, like I see this a lot in places where I consult, people will be like, want to take their breaks or take vacation. And other people will actively say, must be nice. The rest of us are working. And so there's a culture. It's a culture of like, don't take care of yourself. Push, 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 whatever. So if you try to change anything, you're faced with that.
And I get it. I mentioned on the air and so here's a perception people have of me. I'm busy. I don't know. Where is that coming from? So I figured it out, right? I don't walk around say how busy I am. And honestly, I feel like I love what I do. I love what we're creating. So busy doesn't usually pop up, but I realized how they got it. I wake up so early. Like today I got up at 3 a.m. I love that, Carrie. I love it. And mostly it's 4. I love that. I love getting up at four. Do you know what it's like to get up at four? No, nobody's out there. There's nobody driving the crazy cars. There's nobody, no dogs barking, nothing. It is the epitome of sun. I love it. And it's still dark here. I love that too. I love making my little espresso and going out on my dark back deck with my little espresso in the dark at like 4 a.m. But here's what happens. So people think, oh, that she's ask me what time I go to bed. Okay. I'm embarrassed to even say, okay, like ask me. Okay.
What time do you go to bed?
Okay. At 7:11, I was in bed. Okay. So am I asleep? Not quite, but that's my clock.
Totally. Everybody has a different clock.
And it's a thing now, though. It's a thing with all the host and stuff. They have this thing about how busy I am. And I don't know if my team is telling them I'm busy, but you try to reach me at 8 o'clock at night, and guess what you're going to get? Hi, you reach Dr. Pat and the Dr. Pat. But isn't this part of, we get overwhelmed. We talk about failure and we feel insecure. How much is that really from us? And I know part of this is from our childhood and past. Believe me, I know that. But how much of it is from this information overload that just makes us a little bit out of our minds? And
your point, though, is so taken. Busy. We're supposed to be busy. All of us are too busy. We're crazy busy. Busy is, and someone says, how are you? We can just say busy instead of an actual feeling. And busyness has taken the place of a lot of us.
Busy's not a feeling? Oh my God. I have to listen to this.
I know. Again. Listen to that part twice. Busyness is not a feeling, but we use it as a calling card. If I'm busy, you're busy. Everyone's busy. We're too busy for this. And that's why when it's time to start something, a lot of times the busyness of what we created or our perception of busy. And it's interesting because a lot of this works against us. Most of us could use a little more calm. Most of us could use a little more time. Most of us would be so enriched by starting that thing we say we want to do. Most of us would crave actually some opportunity just to be in the world, but we programmed ourselves to go, be, do more, faster, always on email, always responding, that it almost feels like if you're not, you're missing the boat. So the people who do want to step back are on the sudden like, am I missing something? And then it's hard even to talk about, this is the other cultural piece. Let's say you are taking more time for yourself, or you're starting that class you want to do, or you're doing that project, even telling other people about it, because the jealousy that comes up and the judgment. So that's the part of other people's judgment that we have to frame too. Like if you want to do something and think about like all those people who say they want to go back to school and take classes or get a degree in something else. And people might say, well, you already have a job. Or how could you think about going back? You should have done that before.
I said it the other day. I made the mistake of saying, you know, I'm thinking of going back to school. I didn't even get my sentence like out, right? Like why I wanted to, what I wanted to study. I love learning. I love learning. I didn't even get it out, right? Before, what are you talking about? How many years have you been in school? Come on, let's give us a break. 13 years to get your undergraduate degree. Then it took you like 5 years to get your master's degree. And then what, 10 years? Like, that's like, how much of that are you? And I'm like, oh my gosh. It's a cooking class. Hello, people.
I know, but it's exactly that. Like, it's the formality of a cooking class, right? Or even that you have to say what class it is to make it okay. Like, how many people want to take that trip, take that class, do that thing, finish
exactly.
that, sign up, and open that envelope, whatever the thing is. And we just stop ourselves from external. I feel like it's two-pronged, this external judgment and this internal judgment. So when you've got these two things working against you, you really have to engage your conscious mind and be like, all right, I'm going to unpack this for a second and I'm going to unpack it. And you know, what's in the middle of it, which we'll talk about in a little bit, is a whole bunch of courage. That's what it's going to take from the internal and external factors. When we unpack that, that's what's in the gets us going. But you're so right.
Well, let's talk about the tangible obstacles before we go to break, because I'm not saying there aren't any. I'm not saying that, but you got three of them up here. Let's take a little bit deep dive before we go to break on this.
Okay.
Because we're not saying that there aren't things like this. I'm not saying there
are. Definitely. I have a whole bunch. I'm looking at my list. I have a
ton. Go ahead.
Okay. Here's what I got. I got inertia, which is the idea of like, it's hard even to like in physics, you know, things stay the way they stay, and action and what is it? An object in motion stays in motion and an object at rest stays at rest. So our own inertia, and then our habitual behaviors. So as we just do things, we don't realize that we do them. And to break those behaviors that are habitual, we have to get in our conscious mind. That's hard. Also the status quo, be like everyone else, be busy. Don't have your dreams fulfilled. be miserable like the rest of us. Kind of, that's an overreach, but kind of like stay small mentality. Our belief systems about who we are, what we get in life, what somebody said to us, that's all convoluted. And then on top of it, here's the big one, the tangible outcomes, time, money, right? Other priorities, our physical abilities, and how tired we maybe are in terms of like what we've got going on, and then our motivation. So like, think about all those things, which we can go deeper into, but the real things that I find when people starting something, you have to really look at those things that you are, I call them paper tigers, but they feel very real, and they feel like if you say them emphatic enough, like I don't have time or I don't have money, and like, yeah, you're right. Okay, nothing will ever change then. So sometimes we have to tease that out a bit and say, okay, what is it our perspective on time or money or our abilities or our motivations? Because sometimes we have to start before we're motivated. Who's ever been ready? I always ask in my
presentation. Oh my gosh, please.
For anything. We're never ready, right? We're never ready. We do it anyway. So that's my big.
All right, we're going to dig deeper into these, because the reality of this for all of us is the reason that, Carrie, this is so important and what you're bringing out. And I know you've experienced it yourself. I know I have. I know you see the people around you, your clients. And I am going to, yes, can I be a broken record for a moment, Jacob? I don't care what the headlines have said. I've studied human behavior for a bunch of years. So have you, Carrie. And most of you have experienced it and watched it. Here's what I want to say. We did not do a good job when we came out of 2009 and 2010, honoring the journey of so many people whose lives changed forever. People in their 50s losing jobs, never looked at that economic downturn, just listened to a lot of politics, never took the time to respect those people. We're not doing that here. We know that you have been through a very interesting, unusual, unexpected, never before past 3 years. No, don't say 2 years. Somebody corrected me the other day. Do not do that. It is 3 years. It really is. Now, here's what I want to say. When we come back, every show I do, I don't forget that. Because we bring people like Carrie Knudsen to the forefront for all of you. 1-800-930-2819. When we come back, you're going to find out how you can work with her. But she's got a couple of cool stories. Because if you think that I didn't think twice this morning about unpacking my car and going back in the house, it happens to all of us. Carrie, let's take a short break. When we come back, we're going to give a lot. And you've got so many great stories. I can't wait to hear them. And yes, I do feel bad for the Philadelphia Eagles. I do. But I'm an athlete. I've always been, for as long as I can remember. And I know when you play sports, somebody wins and other people don't win. You notice I don't say lose.
Are you looking for a way to break old habits that are holding you back from reaching your true potential and living the life you deserve? Well, look no further than Dr. Loretta Billups. She is a clinician and a relationship and mental health coach that will assist you with reaching your purpose. She will hold you accountable so that your desires are now a reality. Connect with Dr. B at cultivatingyourlife.com and find your path today. That's cultivatingyourlife.com.
Tune in to the hit show, Us, critical conversations on the challenges of our time with me, Dr. Krista Lee Crane, on TransformationTalkRadio.com every fourth Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific. Listen while we focus on the intersections of truth and justice as we learn how to coexist, pushing our social transformation to the next level. Become true stewards of the justice that is needed in our world. Learn more at PreventionAgenda.org. That's PreventionAgenda.org.
Do you want to come back to yourself? To come back to your own power? To come back to your dreams? Dr. Tassel Shanebrook will help you utilize transformational mindset and energy techniques to superpower your conscious and subconscious mind so you can be your own hero. Enjoy the relationship of your dreams, your best feeling body, financial abundance, free time, and ease. You are the one you have been seeking. Visit drtassel.com to find out more.
Have you lost sight of who you truly are? Thought leader Linda Lamp is here to help. She illuminates the divine within and walks you through the walls of illusion that hide the truth about your true nature. With her help, you can realize your true self, become a force for good, and create heaven on earth. The Internal Divinity Show, uplifting and illuminating the divine in your life. Second Tuesday of every month at 4 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Get Big Out Loud. Look, I want to make sure every show with Carrie, there's something new. And we usually talk about something that's so important and how it shows up in her life or the life of her clients. What I want to say to all of you, what we're talking about is getting started. If you want to get started, she is the person to call. Not only does her coaching practice put into play every single thing we're talking about it, but she inspires courage in all of us. Today I prepped for this show and I had that moment of getting to the car and I had to break through, and all I could do is remember my prep for this show and hear her voice. And I knew I did not want to come on this show and talk about how I almost got in my car. Carrie, how do people find out about you? Let's give them some information. And then we're going to talk about the process, what this means and how you use it for people.
Sure. You can find me at KnutsonSpeaks.com. It's K-N-U-T-S-O-N Speaks. And on social media and everything, it's Knutson Speaks. And really what I do in my business is talk. That's why it was Knutson Consulting a long time ago, and I changed it to Knutson Speaks, because all I'm doing is speaking about how we can use applied psychology to make our lives better, whether that's emotional intelligence, leadership, difficult conversations, how we show up in terms of dealing with other people and ourselves, dealing with difficult people, thriving through change is a big one too, like how we manage change. And then, so speaking to big groups and then doing coaching work on this stuff for people who want to take it to an individual level and really apply the stuff they're doing. And then I have group coaching as well, and I have a one-woman show. So I have a lot of things in under the Knutson Speaks umbrella that I like to offer, but it's all about talking about things that matter.
Well, there's a reason that we're talking about this today. Can you tell us about what you just did and got started again?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited. Yes. So my one woman storytelling show is called Ain't Never Met a Stranger, Stories from the Passenger Seat. And it's a compilation of true life stories told in a show format around, it's not like The Moth or some people like The Vagina Monologues. It's
not, oh like, my God. I love those.
About my heart or like how sad I am. It's not anything with snapping or poetry. It's a lot of it's true stories shared in a way that connect us, to show our human connection. So I was doing that show quite a bit before the pandemic, and it had been great. I even went to Philly actually to do the show. I call it the first leg of my national tour, the first and only leg. And then over the pandemic, I did a remote show with a group in Canada where I talked about storytelling, but the show here in Denver, just pandemic time happened. And then I thought, even when the club opened up again, I'm like, I don't want to have a super spreader event, and I'm not ready. And then I realized I'm not emotionally ready to tell stories. I'm dealing with a lot as a therapist with the collective grief of people. And I wasn't in that space. And I just felt like not ready to do the show again. And so it took some time to kind of think what's holding me back. And then especially when the opportunity has been there for a few months and me not taking it. And then one day, sometimes the universe shifts just enough to be like, I'm ready. I'm ready. And the idea of starting the show again, I realized I had to, one of the things that was holding me back was the fall. I had just left my school counseling job to do my business. So that was a lot of energy focused on that. Then I also had a surgery on my own foot, like, you know, what foot surgery. So I needed to recover from that to have the capability physically. And I'm recovered now. And I felt like, again, it was time to start. But the interesting thing is knowing it's time to start and doing something about it, making the phone call to the club and saying, can I get a date in March? Right. And then starting the PR bandwagon and then thinking about the stories I want to tell and getting my outfit ready and hiring the photographer and all that stuff is the push now. But just really to say it out loud, like, I'm going to do my show again. It was a huge moment that's been a 3 years in the making to restart something. And the other thing I'll say is, in the back of my head, I'm like, maybe that's just good because it was the show and maybe it's over. Maybe it's too much to go back. Maybe it just wasn't what it was. And I had to kind of play with that a bit too. Like, do I want to get out of the past and be like, hold this up as this was as good as it got? Because trying again, what if it's not as good? What if people don't like it? What if the stories aren't good? What if we changed since the pandemic? And then like, oh my gosh, look at the head trash going on that's keeping me from saying yes. So I had to battle it out a bit and get into a good space so that I could say, yes, you know what? Something in me is ready. It's time to restart the show. So on March 19th in Denver, Colorado, at 7 o'clock, you can come see Ain't Never Met a Stranger at the Clock Tower Cabaret with me. And I'm ready. Then I'm excited. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Congratulations. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm sure if they go to your website, let's make sure they have your website, because that's how they'll be able to get all this information, right?
Right. It's at kidsandspeaks.com. It's also at the clocktowercabaret.com. That's where you can buy tickets, but there'll be a link on my site to get there. You can go directly to the Clock Tower Cabaret to get tickets as well. And yeah, the reason I think I wrote about this topic in earnest was because I was thinking about what it takes to start. And over the last month, even starting after my foot surgery, putting on my shoes again and going to exercise class without pain, but going back feeling like I got to do all the alternative moves. I got to stay in the back. I haven't been here for a while. Oh, starting again, you know, but then starting again with my foot feeling better. I was also like, look at me.
Yeah.
My foot's feeling better. So there was some excitement around starting too. Same with the show. Oh, I got to do it again, but I want to do it again. And now there's an excitement around that that's building in me.
Yeah. You know, it's really fascinating too. And I know today that starting again, I like to call it renewed, right? Mm-hmm. But here's what I know. I know that I'm not going to be any good to anybody if I don't follow some self-help things. And let's talk about that for a minute, because there is a process. There is a way to start things. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm very process oriented, but I do know a couple things. I know that today, not likely I'll be here till 5, right? For very good reasons. So you have to figure out what your own adaptogen is. Your own adaptogen, that thing inside of you that allows you to adapt and change. So let's talk about the process, because when you work with people, there is a process. And I have to tell you, overwhelm is true. Whether it's opening your mail, hello, like, just because you do everything online does not mean maybe you shouldn't open your mail for like 4 months.
Oh my gosh. Everyone's probably shaking their head like, yes.
I
and go through it. Yes.
I'll flip through it. Or if you're going to get back to ping pong, vacuum your area first, clean it up first. Why? Because I know that if I don't do that and I just turn that robot on, every speck of dust that has been in that place for several months will get inside the robot. And a very expensive piece of equipment will start burping. You see, it's sometimes we have to do steps.
Yes. And that you bring up so beautifully, because the overwhelm, the besides fear, I'd say overwhelm is the next thing. And sometimes even as a therapist, when people come to my office, I think that is the most amazing thing to have them actually sitting there, because sometimes I'm like, I know the journey it took from getting the phone call to making the appointment, to driving here, to walking in, to sitting here was huge. Sometimes just getting to the starting point of what you say you want to do is huge, because there's so many steps that you have to unpack. So I feel like it's a celebration too, when you just show up. Sometimes it was a lot to get there, right? You don't think of the steps before it. And so fear comes up, but also overwhelm at all the steps. And also when you're saying, like, when you look at the mail pile, you're like, oh, when you look at the boxes, you're like, oh, I don't want to unpack them. Or when you look at the thing you have to do, usually we see what we, the overwhelm rather than the possibility. And we forget, why do I want to do this in the first place? And so that's part of engaging your conscious mind of, why do I want to do this in the first place? And then thinking about the overwhelm, breaking it up into the smallest possible pieces to give you success. Yeah. So if you're going to come to the office today, Dr. Pat, you probably didn't bring the entire things back to the office. You probably bought enough in your car to feel like you did something.
I bought all that I could carry, counting on Jessica meet me. You're right about it. I mean, of course, coffee. I made like coffee and brought it. I mean, I have coffee here, but I don't know what I don't know. But you're right about it. Just coming in and just remembering why this space is here and what mm-hmm. we're building was the emotional part of it. If we could talk mm-hmm. about that for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes it may seem when I talk about things, there isn't an emotional component. Like, I believe Linda can come out here now. I think we've gotten a lot done with Karen's situation. What a horrible situation. And, you know, I'm the one that helps take step one, step two. And now I think we've done enough that Linda could come out, but Linda may not think she can come out. So I have to let go of that. It's got to be what you plan for yourself when you're ready, what it is you're going to do, and you figure out how to do it, right?
Well, and that's the thing, you have to figure out for yourself, because there's a lot of people like, do it this way, do it that way. And a lot of times we look outside of ourselves for external validation and how, tell me what to do, instead of like, what should I do? Like we tend to, as human beings, look outside, tell me what to do, versus like, I know what to do. And then sitting with yourself long enough to figure out what is the next step. Like when you think about, like just recently going back to exercise again, I'm like, I'm going to find my shoes. I haven't worn non-orthotic workout. Where are my tennis shoes? I'm going to go find them, right? And I'm going to set them out as a motivator and I'm going to find the class that I love the best. I have a really good class that I want to take, right? And then when you think about like the littlest things that should motivate you, sometimes the should like is so far away rather than the what does motivate you. And maybe the motivation is fleeting. So you just take what you can get in the moment. Like, I'm going to remember why I said I wanted to do this. I'm going to look at those shoes and I'm going to put them on and I'm going to get out the door. I'm going to make everything in my life more make it more possible that I'll get out the door today, or that I'll do the thing. I'm not going to put barriers in my own way. Yeah. And maybe sometimes, and I know this sounds maybe at odds, but sometimes I think about who you share things with and who you don't, because I think you have to protect yourself. And sometimes knowing who to share with and who not to is really important, because sometimes you share your idea and it gets squashed so fast and you don't have the emotional capacity to keep it strong. I call it like a candle that gets lit and then like yeah. someone just blows it out, and then it's hard to light it. And so sometimes you have to be careful who you share with, because even though a lot of people want the best for us in the moment, sometimes their judgment hinders us and doesn't help us be courageous and brave. They actually judge us and make us so small. And who are we to do that? And why? And blah, blah, blah. And we've already fought that dragon to even get us to the starting point. So again, I think it's important to be careful about who and how you share. And sometimes the journey of transformation is singular, and then as you start as a single, you engage with other people who are aligned with the journey you're going to take. And it's not, I had someone I was working with recently said, this is an inside job. Then the changes she wanted to make, I'm like, yeah, it's an inside job. I get that. But also in the goal of our journey and making changes and starting things, we always need other people. we always need connection points. We need those people who are going to help us on the journey. And I think the idea of like, I have to change everything by myself, or I'm so broken, no one can understand. That's not the point. But protecting, like, who is the person? Who are the people that will help me? Who deserves to know, not deserves, who can be, I guess, trusted with this very delicate situation right now?
As we're, I think deserves is a good word. And I like that you use that, because we have to be very meticulous and discerning in what we share and who we share it with. Now, It took me a lot of thought to share what I share today on this show, because I want to talk to people and help them get moving. But I will tell you further details. I have a handful of people, mostly Linda, that I will share it with. But the point that you made is a good one. Because Catherine Ponda, I think, said it first. When we share an idea with too many people before it's time, it dilutes it. Like your announcement today, you waited for today.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're talking about, and I'm glad you said this, I want to get back to it right away. Yes, it's an inside job, but we live in an outside world.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have both.
Yes. And we need other people for the journey. We do. We need new ideas. We need motivation. We need people to say, heck yeah, I'll help you. I think a lot of times when we fail alone because we didn't enlist in the help of others. And sometimes we feel that, like, I can't get started. I'll speak to this too. Sometimes it's the independence thing in me that I notice that keeps me stuck, rather than the interdependence of when I ask for help, who I get it from, and how I allow others to help me on the journey. And some, I feel like I have this very intense independent streak where I want to do it all myself. And as I've gotten older, I've realized too, I need a more interdependent streak where I need to say, can you help me? Can I figure this out? Okay, are you good for the journey? Like, because that's not only what helps me feel like less alone, it takes some of the fear out of things that I don't know. I don't know how to do certain things. I'm not sure where to go next. And then I might need some guidance on the way, but I have to start. And that part of independence starting and interdependence continuing is really important.
You know, I want to ask you this question as we're moving through this, really, for people. Today's show, it was very clear. We're talking about when it's time to start. And a lot of times we use something called intuition. Let's talk about that for a minute. You know, a lot of times I will do a lot of analysis. If you see anything around the business plan and where we're going, there's a lot of left brain stuff in there, right? You know, there's a lot of things in there, but when to start our crowdfunding or when to launch, that was really, for me, I waited until recently where I got the hit. I don't know another word. How do you integrate this notion of intuition and logic?
Oh, it's a beautiful space, because the intuition is the small, quiet voice that all of us has that says, do the thing, it's time, right? And but we have to be quiet enough to hear it. And I often think of intuition as this, like, to me, it's like, it's like feeling of, oh, I'm going to do that thing. And it gets excited. But it is as delicate as a candle in the wind, because it could go in a set. You could be like, what am I to think of? What will other people say? That's a stupid idea. I'm too old. I'm past 50. What does that mean? I'm too this. Or like, we just like blow it out. So we either do that, or we have this intuition and we kind of protect it, right? And we alone, we have protected it and we feel confident in it. But then we share it with someone who's like, that's stupid. You shouldn't do that. Who do you think you are? And then that whole thing just gets blown out. So I'm always like, use your intuition and then protect the heck out of it and listen to it. Because when you think about your intuition, it is guided you through so much of life, but we ignore it. We say it's wrong. We say we shouldn't. So that piece of intuition is so vital. And then the idea of like, how do I take action once I have the idea to start? There is a whole bunch of courage that it takes to take a small, small step in the direction of where you want to go. And in order to have courage, you cannot be in judgment. You cannot be sitting in judgment. And also you cannot be sitting in overwhelm. And part of what you have to do is get your mind right to be able to engage and harness the power of courage. Courage is waiting for us, but we don't often harness the power of it. because of the judgment, the fear, the overwhelm. And if we don't think about it first, it's hard to be like, here's my action plan. Have I thought about the feelings that are coming up, the insecurities, the overwhelm, the judgment? Like, how am I going to manage that? How do I protect? To protect what's so important to protect. And again, that is something we straddle. If it was easy, we'd all be starting things all the time. We'd be like, look at me, high achieving. All of us have something too. And there's no magic that you've missed out on. This is hard. It's hard. This is how we're built. And so knowing how we're built and saying, okay, I got my internal stuff, I've got my external stuff, and I got courage waiting for me right here. How do I harness the power of it? Right? What do I need to tap into, not only to protect what I want to start, but to take a tiny, tiny, tiny step forward? What is the step that's going to action oriented that will create more action? Success begets success. And I love this other quote too. In order to get better, you have to get started. And I often think that to myself, if I want to go anywhere, I got to start somewhere. Where am I going to start?
You know, we often live in the eyes of those people that represent the 0.001% in the world. Mm-hmm. And they provide us with some sort of, I'm going to call it a sidebar or a reflection. But today, what you're bringing to the forefront, and I wanted to get back to it, is we're talking about, here's where we are. Maybe it didn't start in January for you, but we're here. When it's time to start, and when it's time to start, you start. And you can start at any place. You can start at any point. But one of the things that you wrote was your decision to say yes. And I want to talk about that in the last minutes we have left and in your closing message, because yes, and the vibration of yes and the consciousness of yes is so important. Look, somebody made a comment to me about a week ago. When something came up, a bubble, I call it a bubble. And it was not a real positive bubble. And they said, wow, do you think that's a sign? I said, a sign of what? Like what? A sign of what? Like shutting the network down? Like, is that what you're really saying? Because if you're saying that, I got like 100 million signs that point to something else. So, and I had a reaction to that. And then I had to think, why did you have a reaction to that? Because I wasn't in my yes in that one moment for that one comment. I wasn't in my own yes. Talk about that, because you were in your yes.
Oh, yeah. That is a perfect thing to say, being in your yes when you're ready to make a change or ready to start. Even if it's not to make a change, I think that's one thing, but making a start or restarting something, being centered in your own rationale, like understanding for you, especially because it's natural. Like if I do a presentation for 100 people and I get 99 good reviews and one negative one, you know, that one negative one is like, if I could just talk to that person, I could win them over. If I could think about it, you know, and then I have to like reconcile with myself. Like, did I do the best I could? Am I going to please everyone? No. But did I do the best I could? Yes. Did I going to please everyone? No. Do people have a right to their opinion? Yes. How much of it am I going to take in? What's valuable feedback? What's not? But that's engaging in your mental capacity to do that and do the gymnastics that it takes, instead of just being unconscious and be like, nobody likes me, or I did it wrong, or I can't succeed. Like, the idea of being in your yes space is like, I'm saying yes to me. I'm saying yes to what I know is true for me. I'm letting this intuition spark light and stay lit. I'm going to protect it in that space of yes. I'm going to say yes to opportunities. I'm going to say yes to people that can help me. I'm going to say yes to myself. Because all of us want to be self-actualized. All of us want to be purposeful. Everyone has that thing in them that strives. That's one great thing about human beings. We're constantly changing and shifting and starting things and growing. And we want to tap into that without the mental blockages around like our inertia, our behaviors, but really our feelings and then other people's perceptions. And then the behaviors that again compound it and blow out the candle. And so being in your yes space is so valuable, because it's how you think about what you want to start that allows you to take action to actually start.
Yeah. You know, somebody asked me not too long ago, how did I learn that? And I worked for a woman, and I've mentioned her a lot, Mary Louise Smith. And the bottom line is, this was a money-making sales line job that I had to prove myself, even at 20 years of service. I still wasn't enough. But here's what I loved about it. It was a line job. And what I learned about that job positioned me perfectly to run this network.
Mm-hmm.
But what I learned is the power of yes for her. I learned yes in sales. And I don't know any good salespeople that don't live in their yes. And yet when you say the word sales, what people think is, oh, not that. We're all in that energy. Whether you're a mom at a grocery store trying to convince your child that it's okay to just not cry today. It doesn't matter. Carrie, thank you so much. Please give out your website. Thank you for reminding us of so much to help us move the needle. How do we find out about you again?
Yes, please find me at knudsonspeaks.com. You can find out about my show. You can find out about my classes. You can find out how to work with me as a coach. And I really appreciate the opportunity for all those listeners. When people email me at knudsonspeaks@gmail.com and say, I really like this part of the show, or thanks for bringing up that, or I'm wondering about this. I love to be engaged with everyone around these really important ideas. And thanks, Dr. Pat, for the platform to do that. I hope you all engage your courage this week. And as you think about that moving forward, like, how can I engage my courage to start?
Yeah. Wow. Powerful show. Don't worry about January. It's over.
Yeah.
Starting, restarting. Any minute, any day. Thank you, Carrie. Thank you so much for a great show.
Thank you, Dr. Pat. Bye.
I want to thank all of you out there for tuning us in, turning us on. Thanks to our fabulous producers, and most importantly, the best audience on the planet. That's you. We'll see you in a minute.
You have been listening to Get Big Out Loud Radio, where we explore the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life with me, Carrie Knudsen, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.